And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. We began the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show with The Moving Sidewalks and I Want to Hold Your Hand. Now, interested listeners might be interested in knowing, if you are interested in these things, a couple weeks ago I began the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show with the Chesterfield Kings covering The Moving Sidewalks' 99th Floor. And now here we have the original Moving Sidewalks featuring Billy Gibbons doing I Want to Hold Your Hand. The Moving Sidewalks, Billy Gibbons. And also on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show a bit later, Weird Al. But joining us right now, we have some live guests who actually were just represented by some music that is played. So I guess, first off, who are you?
We're the Three Tards, Nardwuar. This is John Tard.
Hello, John Tard. I think I have the wrong mic on. Close to the mic.
We're the Three Tards.
Okay, hold on. Has this happened before?
This happens every time we ever do anything.
This should be on, shouldn't it? The mic, is that...
Are we cool?
Maybe not. No. Okay, try now.
Are we cool?
Oh,
yeah,
yes,
we're cool.
We are rocking.
Yeah, this is John Tard. We're the Three Tards from Toronto. The whole band's here. We're huge fans of you, and we love you more than a friend, my friend.
Well, thank you for the DVDs, and thank you for the kind words. And John Tard, please tell me, who is in the Three Tards, and what did we just hear before The Moving Sidewalks?
Okay, we just heard a song called Crystal Balls off our second album, which is a song that basically you get your fortune read by having somebody go down between your legs. And in the band, I'm John Tard. I'm the singer. I got Keith Tard here. He's our drummer. Fox Tard's also here. He's our bass player. And we got our guitarist, Le Tard. We're all here.
Welcome to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, Three Tards.
Why, thank you, Nardwuar.
From Toronto, Ontario, or Burlington, Ontario? Where are you from?
We're from Toronto.
Newmarket, Ontario, but where particularly in Toronto?
Well,
Toronto?
Okay, well, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm actually in Hamilton, which is north of Hamilton in the country, and we got a Mississauga boy.
I'm from Toronto.
We got a Toronto boy and another Mississauga boy.
I knew there was some little variation there, and
yeah.
Also we forgot to mention the reason we're all here today.
Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow.
Yeah, we love this guy.
Also in the studio here today, sharing studio time with Weird Al. Thank you for sharing time with Weird Al.
Yeah.
Weird Al, a bit later on in our Human Serviette Radio Show. And actually, if you could swing it over to Mr. Plow for a moment here. Mr. Plow.
Yes.
The Three Tards, they're playing tonight with yourself at the Cobalt. You've made all this happen.
I'm excited.
Now, you saw Weird Al, too. What was that like?
I was excited for that as well. Weird Al was amazing.
That was like the $50 show.
$50 for 2 hours and 20 minutes and 8 costume changes. It was pretty rad.
Now, how does that differ from what people are going to see tonight? John Tard?
John Tard will do maybe one costume change.
And it won't be that exotic.
Yeah.
But there will be one costume now, which is very exciting.
I don't want to give it away, but there will be costume changes and maybe some sparklers.
And how much is it at the door?
It's 10 bones. There's actually 6 acts in total all together tonight. There's also the Fight United, Lesbian Fist Magnet, Rock Pile, System Shit, myself, and the Three Tards.
What can you tell me about the other bands? They have interesting names.
Lesbian Fist Magnet is from Victoria. They're actually playing our Vancouver show and our Victoria show at Logan's Pub tomorrow night. And the other three bands are all local. Actually, System Shit used to actually be from the East Coast,
Halifax.
And they migrated out to Vancouver. So and they played with the Three Tards in the East Coast about a year ago.
Yeah, 1 year ago.
Yeah,
Halifax.
So.
And now you're here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, John Tard.
Yes, we're very excited about it. It's our first time out west, and you know what? We can't be happier to be here. It's a beautiful place to be, and it's long overdue, and it's a beautiful city's awesome, and we're happy to be here.
Now, I asked you about Mr. Plow, but I want to ask you further about Mr. Plow, because Mr. Plow is while we're here today. What attracted you to Mr. Plow? Like, what happened? Because you did not meet over email or nothing, did
okay,
you?
Well,
this was like actual meeting.
Well, you know, it's funny. What attracted me originally was he has an incredible ass that won't quit. And I saw it, and I fell in love with it.
And you love asses, don't you?
I love asses.
There are quite a few asses on
especially
websites.
Especially bearded man asses. No, but seriously, we played a show in Toronto, I think it was 2003 or 2004, with the Dayglo Abortions. And he was touring with Dayglo that year. Wasn't it that year?
That was the year prior.
Well, whatever it was. We met him at a show in Toronto, and I was like, we were blown away by his stage presence, his sense of humor, and his ass. And then we said, you know what, next time you come to Toronto, we got to start playing shows with you. And we've played so many shows with him. For him being out here, every time he comes to Toronto, we try and put a mini tour together.
But what attracted you to Mr. Plow? Rest of the three tarts, what attracted you guys to Mr. Plow? Like, how did you know Mr. Plow was A-okay? I guess I'm wondering hints. Like, you walk into a club, you're in a band, and you meet the other bands. How do you present yourself in a manner in which the other bands will love you?
I really do have a thing for bearded men. It's true. I wish I had a better, more, intelligent answer for you, but that's really
Actually, You know what? I think the real answer is that he was just nice enough to talk to us.
Yeah. And many worse. Many worse.
Have you had some trouble with other bands that you've played with?
Actually, you know what? We have. You know, we've had some. See, what we have in Toronto is we have, I guess you have it anywhere, but I can only know since speak of Toronto, but you have it kind of scenes are all broken up into different little neighborhoods. Do you know what I mean? Like, we play a punk that's, like, humorous, and it's aggressive, and it's fun, but then we get a lot of the bands that are more that take
Parkdale?
Right. Well, yeah. We get a lot more bands that take things a lot more seriously than we do, and they hold that against us, that we're not political punks with messages and statements.
You mean you don't hang out at that store, Who's Emma?
No. Who's Emma's actually gone now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But that was a cool store.
It was all right. They had some good records there.
It was an anarchist store. Would they stock one of your records there?
Probably not.
Is that the kind of problem you were talking about there, John Tard?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, well, that's part of it. But we had a few bands in the city of Toronto that actually kind of confronted us where they had major issues with us. And as a matter of fact,
like Billy Talent?
No, Billy Talent, we had a bit of a run-in, too.
Didn't Fucked Up, they had a feud with Billy Talent. It was like Fucked Up.
Yeah, well, that was
Billy
totally
Talent.
Created. We're going to start a feud with Fucked Up, so it's going to be all evened out soon enough. But anyways, we actually had a feud in the Toronto area with another band, and it was where they were talking a lot of shit online and stuff like that. And usually we don't let that stuff get to us, but one time I just challenged the entire band to fight. They all backed down, and we said, you know what, this feud is officially over.
In what way did you challenge them to a fight? Was it by email?
Or? No. I walked right up to the whole band and I said, you know what? You guys are talking a lot of shit. We don't want any problems with anybody. I've decided I want to fight your whole band right now. They looked at me. They turned around and walked away.
What did you look like?
I looked exactly like I look today.
And could you describe Mr. John Tard, rest of the Tards? Again, who are you?
Oh, this is Fox Tard.
Fox Tard. Could you describe your band?
John Tard is large and bald with a very long beard.
How long is it?
Long.
You're talking about my beard,
right?
What
John Tard looked like when he challenged the other band?
That is, I believe, what John Tard looked like when he came out of the womb.
Yeah, it may be.
Because
no.
When I look at your beard, it reminds me of local Vancouver band Cumsock.
Oh, yeah.
No, Mr. Plow, what can you tell me about Cumsock, and what can you tell John Tard about Cumsock and the Cumsock beard?
I believe Cumsock is probably the Vancouver equivalent to the Three Tards, but I believe they don't really play shows anymore. And the other thing is Jesse shaved the beard off.
Cumsock no longer has a beard.
No,
but can he vomit? He does the projectile vomit.
He can still vomit on command.
It's an amazing vomit. Have you ever done a projectile vomit? Have you seen bands do projectile vomit?
I got the best vomit story ever. It's a Dayglo abortion story.
But is it a projectile? Well, actually, before you get
a 5-footer.
But before you get into that, Mr. Plow, yes. Cumsock can projectile vomit, can't they?
The lead singer of Cumsock, not only can he give hardcore wedgies to his guitar player while playing, he can projectile vomit all over the crowd while singing.
And what's great is he projectile vomits on the crowd, and the crowd gets a vomit, and then the crowd pukes.
And then the crowd pukes.
And then Thor comes out.
Yeah.
Because it was Thor's big comeback gig, and it was puke all over the stage.
There was puke everywhere.
And I was like, Thor, no, don't pick up that sword. Don't pick it up.
He almost slipped a few times,
too. But it was amazing.
Too.
But the puke did happen. The Cumsock puke did happen after it was a drinking contest, wasn't it?
I believe every Cumsock show, there was puke.
It was Wendy, the free beer thing at the Cobalt, wasn't it?
There's no such thing as free beer, Nardwar.
Okay. Back to Mr. John Tard, the projectile vomit.
Okay, best projectile vomit story ever. It was last year in Toronto, getting back to Dayglo abortions again. Jimbo, the singer of the Dayglos, hits the stage. The Dayglos absolutely destroyed right off the bat. I look at Jimbo on stage, and being a singer, I look at other singers perform, and I'm watching him, and I'm saying, he doesn't look well, and he's kind of heaving back and forth on stage, and I'm like, I looked at the guy I was with, I said, he's going to barf right now. And sure enough, Jimbo just, instead of turning around and trying to hide it, he just took a step back and let the whole crowd watch as he did this 5-foot puke onto the stage. And then immediately when the song ended, he looked at the crowd and he said, you make me sick. And I thought that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
And that was the Dayglo's Three Tards.
No, we didn't play that one, actually. No. We were playing a show right around that time. We didn't want to step on it.
But you've played with the Dayglo's and Bunch of Fucking Goofs.
It's funny you mention that, because our guitarist, Letard, is from Bunch of Fucking Goofs.
Well, welcome to the Nerd Radio Serviette Radio Show, Letard.
How are you?
Sorry for ignoring you completely until you mentioned the keyword, Bunch of Fucking Goofs. It's funny that you guys are so associated with Dayglo's and Bunch of Fucking Goofs, because somebody asked me the other day who would win a fight, the Dayglo abortions or Bunch of Fucking Goofs, like if they fought each other. I thought that there would be no fight because they love each other. What is the relations, Letard, between Dayglo's and Bunch of Fucking Goofs? And what generation Bunch of Fucking Goofs are you? And when did Bunch of Fucking Goofs start to make an impact on you?
They actually started the band at most of the same time. It was probably the Globe Ocean, probably like 2 years younger than the Bunch of Fucking Goofs. I think the Globe Ocean started in 1980 or 81, and the Bunch of Fucking Goofs started in 1983.
Okay.
So and they have like a lot of they've been playing together for like, I don't know, since the 80s.
When did you join Bunch of Fucking Goofs, Letard?
Actually, 1997.
So was that, what version was that? How many people have been in the band? Quite a few, right?
You played 8 years. Like, 8 years.
Yeah, eight,
aren't there some Bunch of Fucking Goofs that live? Isn't there a guy from one of the Goofs that lives in Victoria?
Merrick.
Oh, actually, Merrick used to live. He's back actually in Toronto, but he used to live in Victoria, and also Mike Jack. I used to play in a Bunch of Fucking Goofs, which is from the Globe Ocean. So,
so who would win a fight? The Globe Oceans versus the Bunch of Fucking Goofs with the Three Tards moderating? Because there was a gig like this, wasn't there?
I would
John
love
Tard?
To referee that.
Was
fight.
There not a gig with the Bunch of Fucking Goofs and Dayglo's and Three Tards?
They play. Yes, yeah. We have. Yes, we played twice like
incredible.
That.
That's incredible. That is an incredible gig.
That is a huge Toronto punk show. When those three bands on the same bill is incredible.
What was that like? What was that night like? Were the Dayglo's fans friends with Bunch of Fucking
Goofs? Well, Dayglo's would headline that show in Toronto. BFG would be right before them, and we'd be before BFG.
Are there any original members in BFG? Steve Goof? Is he
yeah,
still
there? Yes.
He's the lead. Is he still the only original member of the band?
Yeah.
Yes.
But actually, he's the singer, though.
Right, right. Well, I'm actually the only original member now in the Three Tards.
Oh, what, do you have a Mike Tard in the band at one time?
We had Mike Tard.
And he had some Vancouver connections, didn't he?
He was from Vancouver.
Douglas College or something? Because there was quite a few like references to Vancouver and Three Tard-ishness.
Yeah. No, he was in Vancouver. He went to school here. And he left the band last year. Last year?
Yeah.
No, about a year and a half ago. And Letard replaced him. And now we have Keith Tard here, who's our new drummer. And he's from a band from Toronto called The Antics, which are a very popular punk band in Toronto. So it was kind of like a...
Have you offered to fight them at all?
The Antics?
Yeah.
Oh, I would totally kick the shit out of them.
What was the band that you were challenging? What was the band that you were challenging?
Oh, you know what? I don't even want to go there, man. As much as I love you, I don't want to open that door again. Because you know what? They're all bigger and fatter now. They might actually win the fight.
Boom. And we're speaking here to the Three Tards live on Nerdwater Human Serviette radio show version today for September the 28th, 2007. And tonight at the Cobalt, the Three Tards are making their Vancouver debut.
That's right.
Have you been to Vancouver before at all?
Yes, actually, twice with a Bunch of Fucking Goofs.
And how were the gigs in Vancouver? And who did you play with? And where did you play?
Actually, we had lining at the Brickyard once, and once at the Cobalt. And also, we have played with the Globe Ocean here.
How were the gigs? How did you
really
enjoy
good.
It?
Really good. It was like the first year I came down here was a sold-out concert. And there was still like about like 40 people waiting outside to be able to get in the show. And the second time we came back, there was maybe a little bit less, but I think we played during the week. That was a weekday, so. But that was really good. Like,
How did you end up in the Three Tards, Letard?
Actually, I quit the band, a Bunch of Fucking Goofs.
Why did you quit?
I couldn't, like... You know,
couldn't keep it up?
The plants, yes, exactly. And
what sort of work is it being in Bunch of Fucking Goofs, do you think, John Tard? Never having been in Bunch of Fucking Goofs, how hard work is it being in Bunch of Fucking Goofs?
I would say that in Toronto, they have legendary status.
Yeah.
They really do. And I think it comes down to, at the point in Letard's life, he was... He wanted to make a decision and try something a bit different. You know, it's very important for him to write music.
Yeah. What is the difference between Bunch of Fucking Goofs and the Three Tards?
Well, the Three Tards are...
We'll
go a little bit more like forward, I would say, because when I was playing in a Bunch of Fucking Goofs, I mean, we're stuck with like writing the same CD that the song, which I wasn't like really like I didn't wrote some of the song in there. And I wanted to write some, you know, a lot of songs. I had, like, a lot, like...
What lyrics did you contribute to the new Threetards release?
Actually, it's not yet on the CD, but we're going to have two songs tonight. We're going to play the Cobalt.
Yeah.
That we have, like, made. And we have also some that will come up for the new CD. We have, like, actually, two more songs, I think.
Yeah.
That would...
Lil hasn't actually written anything on either of our first two albums, but he does have four songs in his belt now.
What's your new song called?
I Wanna.
Yeah, he's got I Wanna, which is a classic. And then he's got Man's Man Baby, Halfway to Hell, and we got another one. We're at four now.
I saw a video of Man's Man's Baby. I saw
that would be
Fox Tart, was that on the internet?
Yes, it was on our website.
It was on the internet. And it looked like there was like an all-girl mosh pit happening at that
time.
Hey,
you know what? I got to speak on that.
Does that happen at gigs?
Nobody in the history, and I don't care who you are,
Panic
in the history
the
of punk
Panic
rock
of the disco.
In Toronto draws as many girls as we do. We're not even attractive guys. I don't know how.
Fox Tart, could you explain what was going on there? It was an all-girl mosh pit.
Tons of girls.
To be honest with you, we have never been able to explain why.
No idea.
Somehow, our lyrics are the most vulgar at times, offensive.
They love it.
They love it. If you look at any video on, and there are a lot of them out there, if you look at any video of a Threetard show
Tons
and you look
girls.
At the front row, it is always.
And they're not
always
they're
girls.
They're not sisters.
No.
They're not paid to be there or anything like
no,
that.
No, I.
They're paid to be there.
No, you know what? It's just like, I don't know
amazing.
What it is.
It was an all-girl mosh pit.
It always is. It always
played,
is.
What is it? Last weekend we played in Toronto to support this tour, and we had. I don't know, 300 people? Am I exaggerating? Was there 200 girls?
200
there?
Girls out of 300 people, easily.
You could go to a metal show and see one girl out of 200 people.
But you go to a Threetard
show. It's unreal. I don't know how to explain
Who
it.
Who would be second in the girl accumulation in Toronto?
Well, then it would probably be a whole different music. It cannot be punk rock. It can't be.
It's for punk
rock, we draw tons of girls.
And this is a lesson for any guys in Vancouver who are listening, who are thinking about coming to the show tonight.
We don't know if we have that effect here.
Well, we'll find out. But you may want to find out, too.
And that's tonight. At the Cobalt, again, Mr. Plow, who is playing tonight at the Cobalt, get the full rundown. And we're speaking here live to Threetards and Mr. Plow playing tonight at the Cobalt. A bit later on our Human Servant Radio Show, Weird Al Yankovic. Mr. Plow.
Yes, sir.
Who's playing tonight again?
The Fight United, Rock Pile, Lesbian Fist Magnet, myself, the Threetards, and System Shit.
With D-Rock.
D-Rock.
Now,
D-Rock.
How did you end up? In the band?
Well, I joined, it's been over 4 years. It's just my 4-year anniversary in the band. I joined before the albums were recorded. They had gone through a couple of bass players prior to me, and I had actually seen the Threetards play a couple of times in Toronto, and they were great. They're a great live band. The music was great. They were fun
to see.
Had
you been in bands yourself?
Many, many, many.
Any ones we might have records of here at
the probably not. I played in a lot of, you may have a shitloads of Fuck All record sitting here somewhere. We used to play in a band together actually a long time ago called Shitloads of Fuck All in Toronto, and then I've also played in a lot of not so good punk rock bands.
Including the Threetards.
Yeah, well, especially the Threetards. But I've played in a lot of.
And how did you
bands.
Find out that the Tards were looking for some guitar?
It was just, you know what, a good friend of mine was friends with the former drummer of the Threetards, and he called me up and he knew how much I liked the band, and he said, hey, they're looking for a bass player. Do you want to try out? And I went in and I auditioned, and the only other person auditioning was the brother-in-law of another former member of the band, and I apparently beat out family, so I must have done something right.
Yeah, no, we had a band vote. It was like, do we want to bring family into this or keep it business? So we went with.
And John Tart, beside you, you have the gentleman that replaced your drummer who was in the band Sacrifice.
Yes, our drummer from our second show was a drummer from Sacrifice, and he just left a couple months ago.
This sounds amazing. Sacrifice. I tried to find some information on Sacrifice. Didn't find out too much about them. But what is the background on Sacrifice?
Well, I would say, you know, arguably, they're probably one of the best thrash bands Canada's ever produced. Honestly. With Voivod and Razor, they're right there. And we're talking about the mid-80s. Gus is a phenomenal drummer and a phenomenal friend, still to this day. But we reached a point where this tour, it was an issue where he wouldn't be able to come. So we had a long discussion, and he's got three children, and there's a lot of, you know, we're all getting older, right? And he said, you know what, I don't think it's going to work out. So what we did was we made a decision that we needed to get a new drummer, and So what we did was we got the guitarist from the Antics to play drums for us. So only the three tards would hire a guitarist to play drums for them. That's a three-tarded way. And it's Keith Tard, and he's right here.
Keith Tard.
Keith Tard.
Mr. Keith Tard, how did you end up in the band?
Well, the Antics, I played guitar, and we played with them how many shows?
25.
No, we played more, over 30.
Closer to 40 shows we've played with the three tards opening up for them every time, because that's how it goes when John Tard's there, because he's the king, you know.
How would you describe the three tards, having seen them lost? People might be listening to this interview wondering, who are the three tards? What do they sound like? We will play a song this shortly, but how did you describe to your friends, I'm joining the three tards? Like, how do you describe the three tards? What mindset did you go in there?
Well, it was kind of hard to break the news to my friends that I sunk to that level. They didn't like it. But they're supportive friends I have. The three tards are great. They're all the great guys. They always put on good shows. Except, you know, sometimes Fox. Yeah, you know.
And what about the Antics? What were the Antics like? Or drunk. Are they still going?
No, well, it's funny how it happened. We broke up about, I don't know, 3 months ago because just problems in the band. Ongoing problems. And I guess it was a couple weeks later, Gus decided to leave the band and John called me because he's loved me since day one. So it's kind of like my dad.
Not many knew that he could play drums as well as he does, because he played guitar in the Antics, and that's really where most people knew him from. So I knew he could play drums, and actually he was the only person I called, and it was a done deal.
And let's hear a little bit more of the three tards I think we have queued up here. We're going to be hearing, I think, are we going to be hearing Balls, or what are we going to be hearing on this particular one here?
No, that we have.
We've got the greatest hits. Okay, so that's, what do we want to hear here on the greatest hits?
Track two.
Now, what is the background on this particular release?
That's a pro-marijuana song called Hooked on Hydroponics.
And you had no problem writing that song.
No, you know what? I think marijuana should be legalized. It's ridiculous. And it's, you know, hearing it from me isn't good because I don't smoke marijuana and I never will. But and in the band, we actually have no one that actually smokes marijuana anymore. So we have a song pro-marijuana, but none of us smoke it, but we support it 100%.
Now, do you have no problem putting that on a CD? Because you're mentioning you had some problems with naming your most recent CD, because you're part of the Universal Vivaldi conglomerate?
That would be us. We are big boys now in a sea of small boys, the way I like to look at it. But yes, the second album was called Sodomy Road. And it went to press, and they said, whoa, we can't have an album with the word sodomy in it. So last minute, like within a few hours of them pressing it, we had to change it to Crystal Balls. Changed everything, the whole dynamics of the album.
And after your particular track, Hooked on Hydroponics, we're going to be hearing something from Mr. Plow, brand new. From Mr. Plow, what are we hearing from you, brand new, Mr. Plow?
This is a brand new song that took 10 months to record. Called Hand Jobs for the Homeless.
And you will be debuting it as well tonight, right? Or you've been playing it for 10 months at the Cobalt.
Actually, I've never played it live, and this is the first time it's ever going to be played outside the recording studio, and I want to give it to you, Nardwar.
The Three Tards! And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we still have live on the air? Who do we have on the air? Please introduce yourself.
It's the Three Tards. I'm John Tard. We got Keith Tard, Fox Tard, and Le Tard. We're all here. And Plow Mr. Plow.
And Plow Tard and Mr. Plow. We just heard brand new from Mr. Plow.
Yeah, that song goes out to Kevin DeBrow of Quiet Riot. It's called Hand Jobs for the Homeless. It's all about giving homeless people, like, jobs that they can use their hands and, you know, give them a warehouse job because he still lives in his mom's basement, so I figure he needs a good job.
And that will be played tonight when the Three Tards
hit
the stage at the Cobalt. And Mr. John Tard, could you just pull the mic over there for a second? I think just turn it just slightly so we got your full, strong voice there. Do you have any voice preparations that you do before you play it all? Because you do so many shows, right?
No, but I do. I have a special dance that I do in my underwear that I do before every show. Actually, we taped it today because it was important for me to make sure that you saw it.
I'm sure the radio audience is going to love watching this.
It's important that you see it at least.
How high can John Tard take it? How high? Like,
I can do the King Diamond, no problem.
Could you do it now? Just maybe? I mean, we don't want to ruin you because we don't want to. Because I know some bands will not do interviews on the day of their show.
Nah.
Because if you do an interview on the day of the show, you blow the voice. Like the Flaming Lips will not do an interview the day of their show. Will not do an interview the day of the show. And we actually have a caller here. Caller, are you? Hello, caller, are you there?
I am there, Nardwar, it's Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
I heard Mr. Plow is there and giving his regards to Mr. DeBrow.
Oh, yes, Jay, you were there at that very moment. You were in the background, weren't you? I don't want to reveal too much there.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, sorry. No, he wasn't there. A guy that looked like him was there.
Yes, yeah, a guy. That was quite an incident, wasn't it, Mr.?
It was very, very, very exciting and worrisome. And...
But thank you for phoning in, caller. But I will say, caller, Mr. Plow did represent quite well. Remember, he was there in a full, like, Jason hockey mask? He was working as bodyguard, wasn't he?
Yes, I know. And I'm glad he didn't step in because I think those guys look pretty, they were roadworthy.
They kind of surrounded us, didn't they? Oh, so they surrounded me, didn't they? Kind
there
of.
There was a circle around you,
and
a circle of long hair.
And they said we were trespassing at this club until we handed over the tape, right? We were trespassing, but they wouldn't let us leave. And that's
right.
Why we were trespassing.
Yeah, it was very, very scary.
And then it happened a few years later with, actually, believe it or not, Tom Green. But that's another story. But well, thank you for phoning in there, caller. And anything else you want to add at all to the people out there?
Oh, long time listener.
Well, thank
you. Not a first time caller. Thank you.
Thank you. And doot doot a loot doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And if you have any questions for the three... Yes, is he right there, three tarts? That is what you call... This is what you call clearing the phone lines. This is right now. Like, that's what they call... You know, in the radio term, you know, when they have contests and stuff, like, what... How do we get... Okay, oh, I can't even... Where... Okay, that's what they do. Like, you know, all the phone lines are jammed, right? And then you go like this. We clear the lines. The lines are clear. That's what they do on radio. The lines are clear right there. So, like, we've now opened the phone lines officially. We've opened them officially. 604-822-247 UBCCITR. Thank you for phoning in, caller. Again, we're speaking here 2 to 3 tars. A bit later on Nardwuar, the Human Survey Radio Show, an interview with Weird Al. But I interrupted you, John Tard. You were just getting to something really important.
Oh, yeah, well, I have a video I want you to watch. I know it's not very good for radio, but it's important for me for you to see this, to know that you see this. This is the dance that I do for preparation for every show that we play.
Maybe you could comment on what I'm watching.
I'm just kind of shaking my stuff.
I mean, something was lifted in there.
Yeah, no, I'm cool. I've just got my underwear on, and I'm doing some pelvic dancing.
What type of underwear is that?
That's like boxer shorts or something.
It almost looks like a skirt.
Yeah. There's something going on there, though.
It looks like a skirt. That's very impressive.
Thanks.
Now, what would be the vocalization of that? Because you said you could possibly give us some. Again, for people that are wondering.
See if I can do any merciful fate for you.
That's merciful fate.
I try.
Can you do any other genres at all?
Oh, the rest is just screaming punk rock style.
Do you have any songs that actually do that little scream like that?
You know
that?
What? I try to sing more. We do have some songs on the album where I try and do a little bit of singing. Not like that high. But
gave
him at a little bit. We have that in there. But the next album I'm going to try and do as much singing as possible.
Now, are you guys teasing your fans at all?
Teasing?
Yeah, do you ever tease your fans? Foxtard?
Sexually?
Teasing? Yeah. What do you mean by teasing?
Well, teasing your fans that you're playing the Rifleman's Pub in Yukon.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're teasing your fans. There is no Rifleman's Pub in Yukon. There is a Rifleman's Pub in England, so maybe it was a typo, and you're going to England and not the Yukon.
Nardwuar, outside of the Yukon, you might be the only person in the world who knows that there is
no
Rifleman's Pub.
He looked into it.
There is a Rifleman's Pub in England, but you're teasing your fans. You're teasing your fans. Now, when fans come to a Three Tards gig, or when people arrive at a Three Tards gig, sometimes you're out there cooking meat?
Oh.
Filet mignon.
Oh, Montreal. Yeah, you know what? We played a show in Montreal, and my cousin owns a restaurant in Toronto, and he gave us a cooler full of filet mignon. So we're playing this hardcore punk rock show in Montreal, and we had our tour event.
And with
who? At the Cafe Chaos.
Cafe Chaos. With a whole... It was like a big festival of crusty...
Really crusty.
Grindcore bands. Yeah.
We totally didn't fit in. And I was dressed in full nun habit.
I was naked.
And he played totally naked at that show. But anyways, we had our tour van parked behind the club, and there's all these vans full of punk bands from all over Quebec. And they're all, like, having hot dogs and eating bread with soya in them. And, like, there's, like, very little money. And there's us with a barbecue with filet mignon, like, crazy filet mignon.
In the back alley.
You should have seen the looks they were giving us, man.
It was interesting because there's neat pictures of this stuff. Like, that's proof. Like I'm kind of joking with you kind of about, you know, playing, you know, White Horse, playing Yukon Rifleman's Pub. You know, you're teasing the fans. But you're not teasing the fans with that tidbit, are you?
No.
That is true. You have pictures. You actually have proof.
I will swear.
There is proof.
Nobody. There's not a punk band in Canada, with the exception of maybe some of the giant bands, that eat as well as the Three-tards. As a matter of fact, before we even put this tour together, we sat down and said, we got to put a tour together out west. We got to do this. We got to do that. I asked each individual member, what are your issues? Letard looked at me, and he's 275 pounds. He looked at me, and he said, I just want to eat good. He was in.
What did each individual member want on his particular tour? Like,
everybody was cool except for
Letard.
Letard,
what are you hoping to get out of this tour? What are your goals for this tour?
Find a place where to sell poutine.
And Foxtard, what about yourself? What are you hoping? What are your goals? How will you know this is a successful tour? Like, what are you looking for food-wise?
Food-wise
and otherwise.
Well, otherwise, if I come home alive, then I think it's a pretty good tour. As far as food, you know what? Whatever he's eating, I'm fine with.
And who's he?
He being Letard.
On CITR, FM 102. And what about you, Keith? Keith Tard, what are you looking for? What are your goals?
My goals.
And how did you eat in the antics?
Terribly, actually. Terribly. You know how it is. Yeah. But anyways, my goals here, I just want to eat some good food, you know, some good, like, McDonald's and A&W. We don't have that kind of stuff in Toronto.
Right.
And what about you, John Tard? What are you hoping for?
I just want to eat well.
A bit closer to the mic there, please.
Well, you know what? We came in last night, and we were like, we want to get a nice big meal into us. And I says, bring us to a giant hamburger joint. And Plow brought us to a restaurant. What was it called, Plow?
Fets
on some commercial. And what a great hamburger. We sat there, we ate these hamburgers, and they were like, that was the best hamburger I've ever had in my life.
Fats, please send your check to the Three-tards.
And you really do yourself, like, you had moose steaks, too, I see. You had steaks.
We played in Newfoundland, and everybody in Newfoundland, they're so nice to us. Like, they were begging us to stay in their homes. And when we left, this family came over and said, listen, we have...
How desperate were they?
I don't know, but...
Had there been any other bands that had played there of the punk variety? Like, well, they said, this is the first gig since. Was there anybody that had been there?
No, not that I know of. But they wanted us to stay in their homes. And when we were leaving, they gave us a cooler and said, listen, take this on your journey with you. And we're like, well, what's in this cooler? And it was like, I don't know, maybe 50 pounds of moose steak, moose burgers, moose sausage, and it was all in dry ice. And we did another week and a half of touring eating nothing but moose.
And then I like the way how, like, you cooked it in another part of the country. You cooked it in Prince Edward Island. You got
well,
the
we
moose
ate it all the way through to New Brunswick. We were still eating it. We ended up in New Brunswick. We were playing a club there. PEI we ate it too, but in New Brunswick was when it was starting to get, well, we got to start eating this stuff because it's going to go bad, right? And it was in the van for a week or whatever. We kept putting new dry ice. But we went to this one place, and we were staying in this home where we were playing, and we barbecued all this moose, and the promoter comes up and he says, man, I don't know what's going on with these Three-tard guys, man, but I'm convinced that they hit that moose because that's all they're eating.
Is that the reaction you got from a lot of the club owners? Like, did anyone want any of the moose? Like,
no, nobody wanted nothing to do with moose. Nobody except us, and it's good.
One club in Prince Edward Island actually cooked the moose for us, which was very nice of them.
Oh, in the kitchen, on a barbecue. It was delicious.
And they were a restaurant, and they were fine with, here's our moose steaks.
PEI, we're show the tour.
So how important is the cooking part of it? Like, does it need to be cooked properly?
Oh, you know what?
Because it's one thing, you have this food. Who's the shit? Like, who kind of makes sure that it's done properly?
Our roadie. We call him barbecue roadie. We bring him with us, and he takes care of all our cooking and carrying gear.
Where did you learn to do that, Mr. Roadie? You're not filming yourself. I noticed you're filming this interview, but you're not filming yourself. Is Roadie bashful like that?
Yeah. He likes to film down on his shoes.
His name's Lodi, not Roadie.
We call him Roadie and Lodi.
Because he loads it in.
He loads it out,
and then when we get back to the hotel, we load it in him.
Babu, man, you are the Three-tards playing tonight at the Cobalt. A bit later, Weird Al and Art of Human Serviette Radio Show. Did you guys really experience McLobster? Is there really McLobster?
Yes, it's unbelievable. It is, and it's disgusting.
It's like having like a hot dog.
No, where did
buns.
You have this? This is a new.
It was in Halifax.
Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia, yeah. Okay. It's like having like a hot dog buns with a little bit of lettuce, and it had like lobster mixed with mayonnaise on top of it, and
it wasn't
just
even
like
crunchy. It was like mushy.
Yes,
you bite it, it just went
lobster and mayonnaise is not.
How were you really looking forward to it?
Okay, well, here's the deal. We're not McDonald's guys, okay? But I seen the sign, the McLobster is back, and I said, man, that we got to do it. And they're like $7 each. So you know, we got the band and we got a roadie with us.
Remember McRib? They had McRib.
Okay,
can you describe the bun for McLobster? Is it a nice?
It's about maybe 6 inches.
Is it circular?
No, it kind of looks like the. It kind of
like a McRib bun.
It's like a McRib
bun. It's the old McRib bun that they hold.
It's probably the same bun from their McChicken.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Oh no, sorry, that's Burger King.
No, it's like the McRib bun.
Like a hoagie.
But it was so mushy and soft.
Yeah, and mayonnaise and lobster.
I bit into it. As a matter of fact, it was such a waste of money because when you're on tour, you want to kind of watch every dime, right? Especially when you got five guys that like to eat. So we go there and we wasted like $60 on like these stupid McLobsters, and every one of us had like about one bite and it went in the garbage.
And it's mayonnaise on lot. It's like
ew,
having a steak sandwich
gross.
With ketchup on it. It's like
so it's like $100 on McLobster.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Brutal.
What did the locals say about it when you asked them about?
Well,
it?
Well, I didn't see any of them eating it. I think it was just like let's try and hope we can get some tourists to eat
like,
this crap.
I had to wrist wrap.
Yeah.
So when you guys play gigs, how have people heard about the three tards?
It's well, you know what? It has a lot to do with internet and word of mouth.
Has helped out on the distribution?
Not a lot, but well, distribution.
Because you
yes.
Are on Universal.
Yes.
Like, where have you seen your CD?
Every store across Canada has it. In the United States, it is cataloged, but all that's going to change in the next. We're looking at another record deal for the third album, which will be in stores in the United States as well. But it is in stores across Canada. Straight out.
So that'll people hear about you because you play like a gig. Was it Newfoundland with that band, quote, Savage Cabbage?
Oh, yeah, that was Cornerbrook. Yeah, they were just some young guys on the band, some local kids, you know.
And they went really far to go see you, didn't they? Like, they went to the
gigs
and they have to get permission slips from their parents?
Yes, they did. Their parents wrote us letters because it was a 19-plus show. They brought letters saying that they could stay out late.
That was amazing. Like, how did they hear about you? Like, how do these people hear about you?
Well, you know what? It's a small world now with the internet, you know? Like, look at Vancouver. We've never been here before, and people are very happy to have us. It's great. I love
we'll
it.
We'll find out tonight. Hey, ba-boom.
Well, hold on. Let me knock on some wood.
Touch wood on that.
Yeah.
And they're happy to hear you right now.
Well, hey, listen.
Right now on CITR, FM 102,
right.
Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. How well does Toronto, Keith Tard, know the three Tards? How well does...
It's a household name. Like, you've heard of bands, you've heard of AC/DC. Well, they have nothing on the three Tards in Toronto.
And this is no joke again. Like, again, it's documented, the filet mignon. The McLobster is documented. The gig at the Rifleman's Pub isn't really documented. But the gigs at the Cathedral, how many gigs Fox Tard? How many, or Tards?
Tell them the turnout.
What is the Cathedral?
The number one draw in the city of Toronto.
No, but closer to the mic. It got a bit...
We play the Cathedral a lot.
What is the Cathedral?
The Cathedral is a punk rock venue in Toronto. It's one of the few that are left that's all ages friendly. Let's face it, punk rock is very all ages, okay? 19 plus shows, a little bit more tough to draw, even though we sell them out too. But the all ages shows, we have played at the Cathedral alone, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
As headliners.
Now, how many gigs is that?
40,
40,
I think.
40 something.
Is that the most?
Our average, number one.
Number one.
Locally, yep. Number one. I talk to the owner of the venue, and every time I see him, he's like, when do you guys want to book again? When do you guys want to book again?
You played there 40 times.
40 times. And I'm proud to say, that's our home, you know?
How well do you know the place?
Oh.
I know it inside out. The band itself, every bouncer, every staff, the owner, his brothers, you name it, by name.
I even
worked there for a short time. So.
Even we have a little bit of story there about the security guys there. At one point, they had everybody there had a shirt. It says Securitard.
Securitard.
Yeah.
On their shirt.
We bought the whole staff Securitard T-shirts, black shirts with big yellow letters.
Now, what won them over? Do you think? What do you think won them over?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. What won them over is our hard work. To get people to come to a show, it takes work.
Yeah, how do you get people to come to a show?
Well, we've got a lot of crazy ideas. We got, just last week, we baptized, Keith was first show with us. We baptized him in over a gallon of blood on stage.
So is it by telling what you will do? Is that...
That's part of it. But it's also tons of flyers on the streets of Toronto. It's the internet. It's all the MySpaces, the Facebooks, which I've been banned three times from. But all this crazy stuff we
Why
never
Why were you
stopped.
Banned from Facebook? What did you do?
You can only receive on Facebook a certain amount of messages and give them and send out a certain amount, or they consider you a spammer. They've banned me three times because I received too many messages.
How many did you send out and how many did you receive?
I think at one time I was getting about 100 to 200 a day.
Which is nothing for the three Tards, like the MySpace.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Still, to ban us, that's stupid, you know. Unreal.
Now, please explain, if you could, Le Tard, what does John Tard do on stage? What does he look like on stage?
Gets retarded. John is, he brings a lot of people, I mean, by having the costumes, the way he presents himself in, like, you know, talks, and just like You have to come and see it tonight. You got to be the article about this.
Because the costumes are incredible, aren't they?
Yes.
John, I try and do something interesting, or at least something original per show.
How many do you own? How many costumes do you own, or do you rent
them? I only own one costume, and it's the elephant that I played. We have what we call the TSN Turning Point, where we played a show in Toronto.
Have you ever been on Off the Record with Michael Lansky?
Off the Record, no, but I have been on another show. They had a show there called The Man Show. Not The Man Show, the... I forget what it was.
You've been on TSN.
Yes, TSN.
You've been on Dr. Phil, too?
For a few seconds on Dr. Phil and Ed's Night Party with Ed the Sock.
What's the Dr. Phil connection?
I was actually, Keith Tart, our drummer, his guitarist in that, his bass player in the Antics, I was his negative influence. He went on Dr. Phil having a relationship issue.
How hard was it to get on Dr. Phil?
They sent a camera crew up here, spent a whole day with us. They walked us around, hung out with us, and it was all fabricated. We need you to do this. We need you to do this. Look stupid here. Be angry here. And they did all this stuff with us all day, and then I made it about 10 seconds of the show.
But that's great you got on there.
I think, you know what? Listen,
what sort of feedback did you get?
We got great feedback, but the thing is, like, the way I look at it is I don't drink anymore. I quit drinking last June because I was having some issues. It was just too much. But I quit drinking, but now looking at that footage, I'm drinking beer on it. How many people can say they drank beer on the Dr. Phil show? Not many. I'm very proud of that.
And you are John Tart from the Three Tarts playing tonight at the Cobalt with Mr. Plow and a whole bunch of other bands, right, Mr. Plow?
Word.
Who are the other bands playing tonight?
Again, the Fight United, Rockpile, System Shit, Lesbian, Fist Magnet, myself, Mr. Plow, and the fabulous, super, tremendous, spectacular Three Tarts.
And Three Tarts. Now, regarding, John Tart, regarding outfits and stuff, where do you get your outfits? Where do you get your outfits? Because there are many different ones. Because I was just looking at a list here, and this is incredible here. King Leopard Pimp Tart.
King Leotard. Which one was that
King
one?
Leopard Pimp Tart.
Oh, Leopard Pimp Tart.
Okay.
Leopard.
Jerky McTard.
Which was Jerky McTard?
It might have been with the top hat. With the top. I think that was the one with the top hat. I'm not sure, though.
I can't remember, man.
Shark Tard.
Oh, I was dressed as a full shark fin, and I was looking out the mouth.
Tard the Impaler.
That was the with the Misfits. That was a spiky shoulder guy with the big like Kiss outfit.
Yeah.
So when you show up in an outfit, do people think you wear the same one every show? Like, do the people at the cathedral think you're going to wear the same one every show?
No, I try not to. I try to mix it up.
Do the other bands wonder if that's always what you wear?
Well, usually the band doesn't know what I'm going to do. Like I never tell them.
But if people have been upset, fans, you haven't worn the same thing twice, like they think that you wear that every gig, like a brand new fan?
No.
Like, what have you got the best reaction from? What outfit?
Well, I think, you know, the best reaction would probably be
the giant penis.
The 7-foot penis.
Yeah.
That I got rancid. The rancid hung out with me in that stupid costume, and I was on all the radio shows wearing it in Toronto. And
was this before the gig? Or
yeah, just before. The Beetlejuice show that we did. I did the penis that night.
Yeah.
Drunk Tard.
Which was drunk? Brand oh, that was first. Just me. Oh, my God. That was back in my issues days. We had a show in Brantford, Ontario, and it was... We got there. We had 5 bands on the bill, including Mr. Plow. He was there for that
Came all the way from Vancouver for that. Specifically
and
for that
5
gig.
People paid with 6 bands on the bill, and he came in from Vancouver for it. And we had all this beer, and we said, you know what? We might as well just drink ourselves into an oblivion. And we did. And then I had an argument with Fox that night because he was talking to me too much. And I said to him, a famous quote was, are you going to talk? Or are you going to drink?
And my answer was drink.
But anyways, we hit the stage, and we were so drunk. I still got scars on my leg from falling off the stage and all the stupid stuff.
Do you still get paid, though?
Oh, we get paid.
You get paid. Yeah. Drunk Tard. Now, what the fuck Tard you did?
What the fuck Tard? Oh, was that the fur guy?
Yeah, that was.
You know what that was? That was a parrot costume without the parrot head. So I was a bird? No, without wings, but I was a parrot with no parrot head. So I said, let's just call it what the fuck Tard.
I think what people should realize is these are different outfits you've worn to each of your gigs that I've been listing down here. Mountie Tard Tard 1 and 2 and made of the return
well,
there.
I love the Mountie suit. As a matter of fact, I want to apologize for the West Coast tour. I had planned on doing the Mountie for this tour. But you know what? It's such a hot costume and it's very thick. And it kills me, that costume.
So
man.
Where do you get that costume from?
There's a costume place in Hespeler, Ontario. And this guy's got all this old, creepy stuff in his basement. And I don't know how I found him, but he gives me, like, I'll go in there and get a costume, and it's like, $10.
Do you ever have to end up buying them because you wrecked them?
Well, what happened was I went in there one day, and he says, oh, I'm just throwing out this elephant costume. And I'm like, whoa, that's our elephant. That was the one that changed everything for us. We did a show with the elephant costume, and from that day forward, everything changed. Popularity, everything. And he said to me, I'm throwing it out. I got a new elephant. I said, come on, you got to give that one to me. So I own the elephant.
Court Jestard.
That was a jester with the little bells on the hair head and the spikes and the stupid pointy shoes.
Orange Pimptard?
A pimp with the big pimp hat.
Old Greenbeard.
When I used to spray paint my beard green.
Purple Pimptard.
Same as Orange Pimptard, but purple.
I like this one. Spiky Jacket Punk.
That was when we went through. I dressed like a hardcore punk rocker with the spiky jacket and the spiky pants and all the spiky shit.
And what was that like? What sort of bands were you playing?
It's hot and spiky shit.
Cold
in the winter.
The elephant one, elephant.
Yeah, elephantitis.
Yogi Swear. Yeah.
That was with Dayglo Abortions and Mr. Plow.
That
I did
was the first time I ever saw
I did a 7.5-foot Yogi Bear costume.
Turf Tard.
I was dressed as grass.
Right there.
That was AstroTurf.
Yep.
Chicken Shit.
That was a big giant bird with a... I'm actually quite embarrassed about that one because I had tight red leotard pants and I got the skinniest legs.
Supercock. And that was...
That was a good one.
That was the one with Manson?
Yeah, that was another penis costume. But Supercock was me dressed as Superman and I had like a 15-inch penis under my tight pants.
Kind of guar sort of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Slut?
Slut. Oh, Slut was a Peterborough show. I dressed like a girl, but I knew this was going to happen. But when we played, everyone ripped my dress off.
John Simmons.
That was Gene Simmons from Kiss, but I did John Simmons.
Elvis.
Elvis.
Gladiator Tard.
That was the full leather gladiator uniform.
Michael Bolton Fan Club.
Yeah! The whole band had Michael Bolton shirts on.
So the whole band participated in that one.
They do that sometimes.
Do. So occasionally you let them know ahead of time what it might be? Or do you just give them the stuff to wear?
Oh, that one we planned ahead. But we've done like Michael Bolton Fan Club, Ricky Martin Fan Club.
Hanson
Fan Club. We've done a few of them.
We come out to Hanson.
Have you guys ever refused to wear anything?
No, everyone's cool.
Santa Manson.
That was a full Santa outfit with the Manson hair.
Uncle Slam.
That was Uncle Sam.
Old School Indian.
That was the Indian from the Village People.
And that is pretty much the entire rundown that's
Jesus
on
Christ.
I have listed.
I did
Jesus
too.
A couple of times.
I do a great Jesus.
So every Three Tards gig, there's something happening.
But the one thing I don't do, Nardwar, one thing that I do not do is I try not to wear stuff on my head anymore. Like, you know, like big elephant heads and shit. It kills me, man. I can't breathe. After about 20 minutes of jumping around, I feel like I'm going to die.
Have you fallen over ever?
Many times.
With that?
Well, I got some stars.
What about the crowd? How much do they rip stuff off?
Tons. I lost, we did a show in Oshawa where I dressed like a cow, and they ripped off the tail and the ears and all this crazy shit.
In what way? When you went in a crowd, or did this kind
of... No, they reach out and grab stuff. They start collecting off me.
And you are the three? The Three
Tards.
I noticed also you played quite a few gigs with Full Clip Orchestra.
Yeah, they're another Toronto band.
Seven times. Or something like that. Who are like Full Clip Orchestra?
They're a local Toronto band that, you know what, they just work hard and they play very well and they're a good band and they're fun guys to be with.
The Murder Squad?
Murder Squad is another Toronto band that they actually really helped us coming up when we were starting out getting us gigs and... Really good guys.
How about with Career Suicide or Fucked Up? Have you done any gigs with them and all the gigs you guys have done?
You know what? I'll be totally honest with you. I've talked to Career Suicide many times. I've talked to Fucked Up many times about putting together shows. Every single time we talk to them about putting shows together, they say, yeah, let's do it. And it never happened, so I've given up.
Nash the Slash and DOA. You played with them, right?
Yes. Well, DOA a couple times, and I saw a DOA last night. I was with Shithead last night in Vancouver, which was great. But, Nash the Slash was a last-minute kind of add-on.
And was he all dressed up as
the
Slash?
Yes, full outfit. I was so happy.
How did you guys get the Slash? Foxtard?
That was DOA, actually.
Shithead just called and said, I got Nash the Slash. Can he play? How can you argue?
No. You can't say no to Nash.
There was a bonus to their set.
What was the reaction to Nash the Slash?
Well, we had an all ages crowd that was. We had about 500 people for that show, and they didn't know what to take of them, but they loved them. You know.
How about the Subhumans? You played with the wrong Subhumans.
We played with the British.
The wrong Subhumans.
I want to play with the Canadian Subhumans. It just never happens.
Hopefully that'll come true.
I would love to.
What was the reaction? What did the British Subhumans think of you guys?
Well, like, you know, they're very
political.
Have
any bands refused to play with you? Like, no, we're not going to play with that band because they're wearing this. Or do you,
no, like, but well, the Misfits, the Misfits are great guys.
Like, at what point does the costume come on? They don't know the costume's coming, right?
Okay, the Misfits, not attitude, but a little bit of concern. The first time we played with them, we had 750 people in the venue, and the Misfits crowd is very dark, very gloomy, a lot of dark. And we were backstage and putting on our Village People costumes. I was the Indian. We had Foxtard was Leatherman. We had the cowboy and the sailor. And Jerry only walked out and he said, "You guys aren't going out wearing that, are you?" And I looked at him. I said, "Yeah." He looked at me and he said, "You're going to get killed." And I said, "We'll survive." We hit the stage in front of 750 people, a lot of which were our fans. But we hit the stage and about three songs in, there was still nothing. And I'm like, "We are going to get killed." And then about four in, boom, the crowd exploded and it was great.
Did they rip off the Village People outfits you were wearing?
No, they left us alone that night because with the Misfits stage show, we kind of didn't have much room to work with.
So much security as well.
Yeah.
So you play with a lot of reunited bands, don't you? Or old school bands?
Forgotten Rebels, many times.
Like, what's your favorite reunion? Littard, do you have any favorite reunion band that you've played with? Like, or one that was kind of interesting?
I think I like pretty much like... every one of them, I think, we'll play with. Like,
if they play
like,
with us, we
I
love
really
them.
I really like the Subhuman from
England.
England.
How about the Dickies, the Teeth
they
story?
They were great guys.
What's the Teeth story?
Always. Oh, Stan or Leonard? Who's the guitarist? Leonard, I think. Anyways, I think his name's Leonard. After the show, our guitarist was upset because on stage, we always have a lot of people on stage. Sometimes it gets crazy. But his Marshall stack got knocked over while he was playing the last song of our set. And he was pissed off. You know, he's got tube amp. It's expensive equipment. It all got knocked over while we were playing. And we was backstage pretty concerned about that. And right after the Dickies were done, Leonard was standing there and he goes, "You think that sucks? I left for a tour and I left my fucking teeth at home." He goes, "I have to do an entire tour with no teeth."
How did it sound, though?
And it was like, you know what? That's so that is worse.
But how did it sound, though? I thought
the Dickies were amazing.
Did he have his hand in his ear? Because
he
always
did. Yes, he did. The singer, Stan.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Stan's the guitarist. Leonard's a singer. Leonard's a singer. He puts his finger in his ear because he has an eardrum issue. He can't hear right.
It's awesome, though, because he's done that for years. It's kind of like...
And an amazing voice. Very, very... Nobody sounds like him. Nobody.
And we're going to end the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today, right before we kick into Weird Al. You guys are a fan of Weird Al, right?
Love him.
Have you seen Weird Al? Have any of you guys seen Weird Al?
I've never seen him.
Just Mr. Plow is the only person.
I'd love to. Boy, would I love to.
We're going
to
end here with Three-Tarded.
That's our anthem.
And that is off the Greatest Hits Volume 2, where you're wearing the AstroTurf.
And that's our first album.
That's your first album.
The Greatest Hits Volume 2.
Anything else? And you're playing tonight at the Cobalt with Mr. Plow. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all Three Tards?
Well, I'd like to just add that, you know what, we hope to see as many of you out as possible. And I want to thank Mr. Plow for doing a ton of work to help put this together for us. Without him, the tour wouldn't have happened. We're huge fans, and we love him more than a friend, and we want to have sex with him.
It's great that you apologize before.
I don't.
Why should people care about the Three Tards? Why should people care?
We're really nice guys.
I think we are nice guys.
And you spell Three Tards how?
Three T-A-R-D-S.
All right, Mr. Plow?
I think people should come see the Three Tards because it's the only reason I like to go to Toronto, and I finally brought them out to Vancouver to show Vancouver what a real punk
band
can be.
And Whistler, too, right?
And Whistler and Victoria.
And the Three Tards are kind of conniving, aren't they, Mr. Plow?
Conniving?
Well, there was a day off, wasn't there?
Yes. This is to show how three-tarded the Three Tards are. I booked a day off so that we could, you know, have a nice relaxing day and a half to get to Edmonton, and the Three Tards decided, no, we're going to book a show in Red Deer, so we have to leave Whistler right after the show and drive 12 and a half hours.
Thank you, Three Tards.
Thank you, Three Tards.
Did you say we have to drive?
Mr. Plow.
I mean, I guess I have to drive. I'm the only one that's probably going to make it to the show there, Nardwuar.
Well, thanks so much, Three Tards. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doot doodaloot doo.
Three Tards.